What does the Super Bowl have to do with gospel music? Well, stay tuned for Sunday Insight to find out. Welcome to Sunday Insight, a synopsis of the worship experience here at Wayzata Community Church. Today is Super Bowl Sunday, and we've taken the opportunity to turn that cultural phenomenon into a reason to sing and give praise to God. So let's join the congregation already in progress for the Super Bowl of Soul.
I hear there's some game today in the middle of a concert. I'm more for the concert than the game, so this is a good start to that. This morning, John has chosen a passage that speaks to our culture. On a day when the biggest cultural phenomenon has come to our own city, one of John's favorite phrases that you hear him say pretty regularly is, "Sometimes you have to kiss the culture." Billy Graham said it this way, "You got to be in the world, but not of the world." Paul reminds us, don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. As we look in today's text in Luke, Jesus has been teaching the people about the kingdom of God. And out of this crowd, in the midst of this teaching, a brother stands up and interrupts Jesus and asks him to settle a court case. The brother's already decided what he wants when he comes to Jesus. Sound familiar? And now he's looking for a judge who's gonna agree with him. And instead of going to get the approval of the appropriate legal structures, he's trying to get Jesus to take jurisdiction over his case. And Jesus will have nothing to do with it. So listen to what Jesus says in Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me as judge or arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told him a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will put down my old barns and build larger ones, and there I will store my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things that you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God."
All day long today, we're going to be told that life is a game, right? I mean, the game. And I would tell you that life is a game too. I mean, literally, life is a game. I mean, it's a box game, literally. Anybody play that game, Life? It's a Hasbro game, right? It's one of my family's favorite. It's one of the few box games that survived a very recent purging of the Ross family game closet. I actually had to get packing tape out to tape the box back together because we've had this game for so long and we've played it so many times that it's falling apart. Now, the game of life in the Hasbro version of it, you have these little cars, right? Little plastic cars, you know what I'm talking about? Little figures that go in them that represent different people, and you make those choices about college, a career, and you wind through the passageways of life, hitting good luck and bad luck in equal portion along the way. Well, you know what it literally says in the instructions for the game of life about what the objective of the game is? It says, and I quote, "to collect money and retire with the highest dollar amount." That's the object of the game. And the winner is the one who has collected the most money and retired with the highest dollar amount. We laugh. We laugh because we know it's not just a game. How many of us have heard and snickered that the one who dies with the most toys wins, right? I mean, this is a game, but it's not a game. To collect money and retire with the highest dollar amount in the game of life, this might be okay, but in real life, there's so much more for us to consider. Epictetus was a first century Greek philosopher, and lots of you have read him, maybe don't even know that you've read him, but you've read him, speaking to his own culture those many, many years ago, said that in games and in life, this is our predicament. We lose sight of what's important and what isn't important. That's our predicament. That's our predicament today, Super Bowl Sunday. We risk losing sight of what's important and what isn't. And Jesus had a few things to say about it. Before we jump into that, let's pray. Gracious and loving God, as a gift of your Spirit, shine a light on this word of yours. Shine a light on our path of life. Shine your light on us. We pray in Jesus. Amen. I want to make sure I got this right. Famous sports quote, Rustin, don't bother. Famous sports quote, if winning doesn't matter, why do they keep score? Who said it? No, it wasn't Jesus. If winning doesn't matter, why do they keep score? Any Packer fans in the house? It's Lombardi. It's Lombardi. If winning doesn't matter, why do they keep score? That's just one small indication of the truth that we have become really, really good scorekeepers. There's a little scorekeeper in every one of us. It's the first question that we ask when we arrive late to a game, right? Like tonight, some of you are gonna arrive late to a party if you go to a party to watch the game, which maybe some of you won't, just for the concert. If you show up late, what's the first question you're gonna ask? What's the score? I mean, it's built right into us. Even when we try to resist keeping score, we can't help ourselves but keep score. Like when my kids were real little and they were playing that game called soccer when they just kind of move around the field on a big pack, kicking the ball together, somebody would come along and say, hey, what's the score? And say, oh, well, we don't keep score with the little kids, but we're winning by two. We keep score because we think that scoring tells us what matters. Scoring assigns value based on performance, and we are professional scorekeepers. In football, we count touchdowns. Baseball, runs, basketball, baskets, hockey, soccer, goals, volleyball, points, so on and so forth. In games like Monopoly and Life, we count money. In poker, we count chips. In euchre, we track tricks. In some games, it's who gets the highest score. And in other games, it's who has the lowest score. We're really, really good at keeping score. And not just in sports, but in many areas of life. And by the way, our social media even does it for us. Just ask any teenager how many likes that he or she got on his or her last post. And they're probably pretty likely to tell you within just a few points of the number of likes. Speaking of keeping score, tonight the Super Bowl, 114 million people likely to watch. We can round up, say 115 million people will watch on television. The number one watched event, that's no surprise to you. Do you know that 7 of the top 10 watched events on television are NFL events, are NFL games? 7 of the top 10. Last year, if you're interested, the number 3 most watched program was Trump's first address to Congress. The 8th most watched thing last year was the Oscars, and the number 9th most watched thing was President Trump's inauguration. All the rest of them, NFL games. Keeping score. Now, I don't want us to despair, because even tonight, let's say 115, let's say they break the record, and there's 115 million people watching this game tonight. One game a year with that many people. Every single week in America, more than 130 million people will gather just as you have gathered this morning in some kind of a religious ceremony. Every single week, not just once a year, but every week. So don't despair. And I'm not here to beat up the Super Bowl, the NFL today at all. I just want to make sure that we don't lose sight of what's important and what isn't important, as we were told is our predicament. In today's text, Jesus challenges the conventional thinking behind the question of the man who came to him. Jesus' response to that question comes in the form of a parable. It's a story with a point, and Jesus is always really direct in these stories, if you're willing to just spend a little time with them. Keeping score in Jesus' mind is not about what you have, it's about who you are. It's not about being rich, in Jesus' words, it's about being rich toward God, in Jesus' words. It's not who has the most money at the end of the game. In Jesus, God goes one step farther and stops keeping score altogether. It's called grace. Two quick ideas from Jesus about what's important, what's not important, how we might be able to keep those things straight, even as we're so distracted by super things in the world. First thing, number one, the game will not last forever. And then number two, our stuff is not our stuff. In that order, number one, the game will not last forever. So once again, why bother keeping score? In Jesus' parable that Rustin read out, we have the omniscient point of view, right? If you were listening, we can see all, we can hear all, we can know all. We're privy to the man's thoughts, him talking to himself, revealing his true self, his true identity and integrity. Because he's talking, assuming that no one's looking. That's an interesting version of ourselves. That's what integrity is. It's who you are when no one's watching. That's who we get to see in the man. But we also have the occasion to hear the voice of God, who says, "You fool, you will die tonight." Right out of the gate, Jesus sets the context of our lives, and it's a temporary context, because the game will not last forever. Now I can hear you thinking to yourself, I had to come to church to hear that. I already know I'm not gonna die. I mean, I already know I'm not gonna live forever. I already know that the game won't last forever. Yeah, but check the evidence in your life. See if it matches that. Now, the game won't last forever. And by the way, let me give a little nod to Tom Brady, okay? I'll try to be balanced here this morning to the Eagles fans too, but Tom Brady, maybe the most impressive NFL, you okay, Patrick? You okay down there? Sorry. Come on, Tom Brady, probably the most impressive NFL player ever. We can argue that if you want, but he's 40 and he's in his sixth Super Bowl tonight. But even for Tom Brady, the game won't last forever. It will end. And again, we think, well, that's so obvious. Why does that matter? Because it affects the way we play the game. It affects the way we live our lives. You know, for 12 years, I coached kids in hockey, and every year at the beginning of the season, and some of the parents who had kids on all my teams really kind of got sick of me doing this, but at the parent meeting every year, I'd gather the parents together, and the head coach would go through all the stuff about the schedule and the rules and how we're going to conduct ourselves and all kind of stuff, and at the end, I'd say, excuse me, can I just say something? And they go, okay, here comes JR again. I got to say, parents, listen. This will not last forever for your kids. Believe it or not, not one kid in this whole association is ever going to play in the NHL, much less maybe even collegiate hockey. And that's when their eyes start to like roll around their heads because they can't imagine their kid's not going to go to the NHL or to college, because of course they are. And I love them for that. But look, the game will not last forever. So what will be left when the game is over? What will be left when the sport is done? It's the same question. And we're reminded of Jesus of this eternal truth right away. You know, being in touch with our mortality has a powerful influence over our thoughts and our deeds. Funeral directors are some of my favorite people in the whole world. I love these people. And we get to work with them a lot. And we talk about doing funerals as this sort of odd and wondrous calling, because it keeps us in touch with this eternal truth that the game will not last forever. One of my best friends since second grade and one of my favorite people in the whole world, because he's a funeral director, a fifth generation funeral director, he reminds me most times I go home and see him, he says, you know, JR, someday you'll look up to me. Fools. And now I'm addressing you. Fools. This very night, your life is demanded of you. So stop keeping score. And remember, the game will not last forever. Secondly, our stuff is not our stuff. The stuff of life, like the guy with the barns, right? And all of his riches and wealth and possessions. It's not his stuff. Our stuff isn't our stuff. Eugene Peterson, in the Message translation of the Bible, says that life is not defined by what you have, even when you have a lot. The JR translation of this passage, more obscure version translation, says that if you win the rat race, you're still a rat. Thank you, Brother Ward. You know the statistics around those pod storage providers. I mention this, it seems like almost every year, because it is one of the most obvious indicators that we have too many barns. We call these people to bring these huge containers, drop them in our driveway, we fill them with all of our stuff, and then they take it away. We don't even know where it goes, but all our stuff is in there. And when we're ready for it to come back, we just pick up the phone, they bring it back, and back comes all this stuff. It's not our stuff in the first place. The man of whom Jesus speaks has lost himself. He's lost his identity, stolen and replaced by his stuff, by his possessions. The man of whom Jesus speaks in the parable is any of us, anyone who has lost their identity, replaced by possessions and stuff. We might not be able to stop someone from stealing our identity when it's all wrapped up in stuff, but they can only steal our soul if we let them. When we remember that our stuff is not our stuff, we see the things in life as gifts of God to be shared, to be rich toward God. Being rich toward God is to see the difference between possessions and treasures. You possess a job, you treasure your family. You possess a house, you treasure your home. You possess a bank account, you treasure your friends. You possess a car, but you treasure your freedom. You possess clothing, but you treasure your health. You possess a calendar, but you treasure your time. Possessions and stuff, we protect it. But treasures we dare to share. And someone once upon a time said that where our treasure is, so will our heart be also. I said I'd be balanced in my mention of the Patriots and the Eagles. I found out an interesting thing this week about Eagles. Do you know they're remarkably efficient hunters? And I emphasize the word efficient because Eagles spend a significantly disproportionate amount of time hunting compared to other birds of prey. They just get it done super quick. It's remarkable. They spend less time trying to fill the empty pockets of their lives, and they have more time to to do the kind of soaring that gives them the highest perspective imaginable on life and on the goodness of God and on the freedom of what it means to be born free in God's love and grace, a love and a grace that we can never mess up. So, the game will not last forever, to be sure. And our stuff is not our stuff. Keeping score and getting to the top of our game, climbing ladders, these kinds of things, we're good at it. It comes naturally. But as you climb upward, and remembering the things that matter and the things that don't, as you climb upward, I hope you'll keep your head up, lest you go right past Jesus on his way down. Pray with me. Gracious and loving God, help us to see the upside down kind of love and world that Jesus would have us pursue. Even on a super day, help us to remember that it is your super love that gives us meaning and inspiration, courage and direction in all things. And it's in the name of the Christ that we pray. Amen. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Sunday Insight. Wayzata Community Church is a United Church of Christ congregation that welcomes all people into every aspect of our ministry and full membership of our church, believing deeply that discrimination and exclusion in any form is incompatible with Christ's message of unconditional love. If you'd like to learn more about Wayzata Community Church, please visit our website, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or download our weekly podcast. We offer 5 worship services each week, 8 a.m. with communion in our chapel, 9 a.m. and 10:45 a.m., and Parables, special needs worship service in the chapel at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday. We also offer full adult and children's programming every Wednesday, including WOW, Worship on Wednesday at 6:15 p.m. in the sanctuary. And we'll see you in church.